Welcome to Empower Your Life with the Enneagram with Dr. David Daniels, the program that will develop your own self-awareness and strengthen relationships with all of those around you. Now, enlightening you with the Enneagram, here's Dr. David Daniels.
Welcome to Voice America and to Bringing the Enneagram to Life series. I'm the host of the program, David Daniels. This is the last, actually, of the nine-panel series. We're going to be interviewing Type 8, the Protector, today, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But just as a little refresher, remember the Enneagram, Enne is Greek for nine, and Enneagram means a figure, something drawn. So an Enneagram is a nine-sided figure with nine personality styles. This is what the Enneagram is about. Nine personality styles that show us how we feel, how we think, and how we behave in particular patterns. And it shows us about the underlying motivation of each of the types. What's the driving energy that makes for the particular personality style? And how do we organize attention? Let me remind you that the great American psychologist William James said, ultimately, all we have control over is attention. Not tension, but attention. Because our attention really directs our life, like the driving energy behind it and the things that are motivating us in our pursuit of the basic needs of life, of self-worth and satisfactory survival and love. So we turn now to the third of the three body types that we've been talking about. Remember, again, the three intelligences, the intelligence of the mind, the intelligence of emotion, and the intelligence of the body and the vital instincts that let us know where we are in relation to things. Where's the power? Where's the control? Is life comfortable? Is it okay? How are things? Are they the way they should be? So in Type 8, which we'll turn to now and interview our panel, I'd like to introduce first Steve and Leif and then Bob. I'll give you the basic proposition, the basic structure of the type, and then we'll have our panel's responses and questions. For eight, the original state of innocence, if you will, of just coming freshly to everything, that you see in a little infant, with no prejudice, no agenda, nothing predisposed, just seeing the truth in everything and everyone, this goes into the background for this child because the child perceives that the world is a pretty hard, tough place in which the powerful take advantage of other people. And they come to believe then that you've got to be strong in this world. You've got to be tough and strong yourself and hide any vulnerability and take charge of things and be direct and even confrontive if you have to be. And that's the way you have to go about with your coping style. It's driven by a great energy. It's the life force energy itself, but it's called lust here. It means excess. It means a big energy with nothing much opposing it, no counterforce. It's sort of from idea or from impulse to action often, especially in the young eight. And this energy combines with the focus of attention that's going out to, well, where is the injustice and where is the truth? And what do I have to pursue? And what do I need to do to assert a certain amount of control and power in the world and to assure my strength? And, of course, underneath this is a deep concern that, well, I just can't be powerless and vulnerable in this kind of world. And that power of the personality keeps one away from that which you need to avoid in your life. So could I turn to you and ask you, well, how did the theme of eight play out in your life? Or could you tell us about this theme? Bob.
It plays out, I'm aware of the fact that one of the things that, in terms of my attention, is that I'm constantly scanning for possible threats, whether it be to my environment or people. But there's this uneasiness that there's something out there, that the world is not well-meaning and can't be trusted. And so I have this sort of scan going about possible threats. And the way I protect myself is I create mental and also, it sort of has a physical character, a space that I've decided is mine, and I'm safe there, mm-hmm. and I control everything within that space. Now, I can move that space depending on situations, And as long as I have control in that space, then I feel safe. But I don't like people to come into that space without being invited.
Mm-hmm. So if I invade into that space?
That would bring up this other little thing we have called anger, and I would let you know that you're getting too close to me.
Right, so you'd be direct, you'd confront it, you'd
yes,
let me know.
Yeah, generally.
You wouldn't generally run away from it.
Oh, no. You would know that you had gotten too close
right.
to me. I may not be ornery or nasty, but you would know that you had come into an area that you weren't welcome.
Right, so this is going to protect you. This big energy will come up, and I'm going to know that.
You will know it, right. Yes. Also, if I'm unhappy with you, you will know it.
Uh-huh. How will I know that?
My body language, probably something sarcastic, something cutting.
Your voice will get loud.
Yes.
You get very direct.
And if you don't get the message, then I'll just have to tell you right out.
Uh-huh.
Back off. Cool your jets.
Right. Good. Thank you. Leaf?
Well, I guess being an aide in this society as a female is a little different because it isn't readily accepted to behave as forceful as I often feel like during. My energy is often very big, and I can be quite rude. And because of that, I have to tone it down somewhat, so it's always battling with a certain energy that's going on, having to keep that at bay. And I think for me that I'm angry a lot of the time. This energy, there's this underlying anger at the injustice of the world, the people are incompetent, don't know what they're doing, they're not telling the truth. There's a constant need to protect myself before I'm gotten. So I have a guard up, and that guard comes across as being quite boisterous and loud and can be angry and literally not tolerating.
Right, and even though it can be that way, you may already have your thumb on the suppress button pretty heavily. Is this
absolutely
correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So we see a big energy, but there's still a lot more there that you actually...
I'm containing a lot of it, indeed. I pay a lot of attention to that because, especially as a female, it can be overbearing and not considered okay.
Right. Right. Thank you. Steve.
Wow. A lot of things happened there. I listen to Bob and Leaf, and then I look at myself, and I think one of the things that precedes my entrance to somewhere is this energy and this intensity. Oftentimes, until doing a little work that I don't even know it exists, but I remember a guy coming to do an article on me, and he wrote in, and I was quite surprised when he wrote in it. It was a complimentary article, except he said, Steve Hardison would be the kind of guy, he has the intensity of gaze, if you sat across from him on the train, you'd change your seat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just right. There.
Right. And that kind of shocked you, surprised you?
Yeah, it surprised me.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
The fun-loving, nice, kind guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That
but
I thought.
The big energy, right. With the big energy, you care about things, you just move into it.
Yeah.
If somebody crosses you, what happens?
It depends who they are and what the situation is. But in like the worst case, like not very well developed of handling and dealing with my anger, I would... have no uncertain terms of vocally telling them how I felt, physically intimidating them, or making clear that they've crossed some boundary with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that boundary is really interesting. The more I learn, because there's a certain nature that my wife helped me see some time ago. She says, you come from a place in the background that says, don't screw with me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what is this don't screw with me stance? What's it protecting?
Fear.
Of?
A fear of someone either hurting me, a fear of not getting what I need to get, not being able to be take care of it, being misunderstood, treated unfairly,
mm-hmm.
misjudged, things
right.
like
so
that.
Things like that, of being, in other words, very simply of being vulnerable and
mm-hmm.
at the effect of somebody else, that
mm-hmm.
you can't, when you can't count on them in this kind of
yeah.
world.
Yeah, very much in that can't count on them is... As an eight myself, I really view the world and look at people in a very short period of time. And I actually ask that question, can I count on them?
Mm-hmm.
And if I can count on them, they're invited into the party. And if I can't count on them, they're not in the party,
right.
whatever the party is.
Right, right. So one of the things that that you're already all mentioning is that you have a tendency to be very impactful. And what was that like before you were aware of it in your life?
I think I was more intimidating than I realized. That people in position of leadership, people would go along just because they were afraid to stand up to me. And then I would get into the situation and realize I didn't have the support, that it was my energy that was making it going. That was also true in friendships. If I wanted to be friends with somebody, then I would put all that energy in it, and then when the friendship, I realized there wasn't a friendship there except what I had created with my energy. I did not it was always them that there was something wrong with them.
Right. Well, and there's all this big all or nothing energy, kind of you're in a context of a group, you're moving forward on, and you think everybody's on the team, They aren't.
No, you're running. As a friend of mine said, you get so far ahead of us that we mistake you for the enemy.
Uh-huh. Right. Yes. And then the friend that, you're at a different place with the friend than the friend is with you, and maybe he feels or she feels kind of overwhelmed and backs off, and then you end up hurt. Actually,
I feel, that I have been betrayed, that I have trusted someone that was not trustworthy, and that touches this vulnerability, which I don't do very well.
Right. And you don't think you do that very well because?
I have felt that, first of all, that the world isn't well-meaning, and that I have to be strong, and that if I make myself vulnerable and someone takes advantage of that vulnerability, I won't survive, physically or psychologically.
Right. So it does get right down to the fundamental driving force underneath the strategy.
Yeah, basically, am I going to survive this or not? And I used to joke, when I would get really ill, I just bypassed the priest and phoned the funeral director. I mean, it's just, everything.
Right, go right to it.
Yeah, go right to it. It's over.
Right.
And,
right. So how about impactfulness, Leif?
Before I became aware of.
Right.
I noticed it in all areas of my life. I was. My brother especially, I scared him to death to the point where he'd go hide under the bed, and I wasn't aware of what that was. I was pretty young at the time and didn't realize that I had
this was a younger brother or older?
This is 10 years younger than me.
Uh-huh.
And often would ask my mother for things that he couldn't ask me, and still to this day has a hard time talking to me, looks up to me, but there's the difficulty there. And also with my friendships, I was the one running the show. I didn't feel like I had a lot of equality because I kind of took over. And it was the same kind of thing. Even arguments, I was very comfortable with my anger. And I often found that people, I would get it off my chest and thought everything was great and I wouldn't have any friends.
Right. Then they're still really worried and fretting and
hurt. Or they don't talk to me anymore. Right, I wouldn't have them. That would be that because I'd, and they're just. There they are, falling over on the floor, and I feel much better.
Right. And, and as I understand it, it's not like you like to be angry, but if anger's there, there's something about it, you just deal with it and you confront it, and then it's over with.
Well, it's comfortable.
But for a lot of the rest of us or a lot of other people, it doesn't work that way.
Well, and it feels like you're getting truth out of somebody. I think it brings out truth.
Right.
You get frustrated, you say what you really mean, and I feel like half the time we don't always say what we really mean.
Right. Steve, what about before you had the awareness of your impact?
I think there's a lot of things that I did as I look back. They're very, very damaging situations where I would actually take away people's choice. They really had no choice. They had an idea or a thought. That's what was going to happen. I could present it like maybe there was some choice, and people really couldn't respond in the negative because they would sense there would be some price to pay, either literally or, be tossed out or not part of something. that would really literally take away people's agency, mm-hmm. so much control that other people weren't agents unto themselves
right.
in my presence. I can remember a time in high school, and it looked good at the time, or it felt like it was the right thing to do, but to get the whole student body to walk out on the school, which collapses the whole school. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just makes a mess of things. But,
right.
And I'm sure people really didn't want to do that, but there was enough of something to say, hey, we ought to do that. So, it, you know.
You got them to do it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was not a good idea.
Right. In retrospect, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
It was like, let's take action. Let's move on this. What was the issue about?
Hair. Length of hair.
Uh-huh.
How long you could wear your hair. And it was totally against what I thought was reasonable, that someone could tell me how long my hair should be.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not that you wear long hair.
Well, I at that time, for what was considered okay, I did. You know, and I just thought that, you know, somebody should. And again, I look back and, gosh, you know, if that situation happened today, it was one of my kids, I'd sit down and reason with them and what's the outcome of it and how important is that. And, you know, have some, but I was just like,
right.
Hey, I don't want it the way you're asking me to have it, and I'm going to have it the way I want it.
Right.
And I'll do whatever it takes to get that.
Right.
So that's in a big picture. I've been married 27, going on 28 years, but I can remember times with my kids without really knowing it. You know, just a look or something I would say or even standing up. I wasn't aware of it, except you could see it because, you know, just these people scatter.
Right. The big energy would just manifest itself and impact over impact. Wow. Wow. So just briefly, what will set you off? I think Bobby really started on it. If I invaded you somehow.
Base. Also, if you attack my impunity, if you attack my integrity, because I do have a real sense of pride about being honest, is what you see is what you get,
mm-hmm.
and or if you manipulate me, lead me, you know, to believe that you're going with me and are not, or although I have to say sometimes I respect people who can manipulate me because it's a sign of strength. But basically, if you just say things to go along and are not honest, I expect that you will be as honest with me as I am with you, or as I perceive myself to be with you. And if you're not, then that really, really sets me off. And also, surprises can set me off. It's just like, I hadn't thought of that.
Right, getting blindsided.
I'm blindsided here, and I realize now that I it's just that I need time to think about it, but it feels like I've been attacked, is what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Steve, you actually mentioned a good example of what would set you off, this whole thing about the hair, and it's just not fair, there's no justice in it, you know, who should be telling you those kind of things. And it really gets you going. It didn't just set you off, but it got mobilized.
Yeah. Anything that, and there's, you know, a whole list of things that would do that. Anything that kind of cut up against questioning my integrity, questioning my personal truth, or questioning my intention or my motive, or seeing someone that... that I have any kind of feeling for, which in a certain way, as funny as it may sound, doesn't take a lot for me to have some feeling for people, but where they're disserved by someone who takes advantage of them.
Mm-hmm.
That would set me off. It does. It still does.
Right. Leith, what'll get
both
set you
all
off?
Of those
push your
as well, and I also feel a truth is a big one for me. I really, it's important that you do as you say and don't feed me any bullshit. I don't like that at all. And to follow through with what you follow, do what you say in the sense that I only want to hear the truth. Truth is really important to me. And also justice also is very important. I don't like seeing things, people wronged. It feels endless at times, the energy that can come forth.
What I want to ask, I want to turn to, because we do have some time limits, what I want to turn to is, like, what are your strengths? And particularly, you know, what do you bring to things? What do you bring to life and to relationship? Bob?
Well, strength is one thing we do bring. We are strong people. And I've had people tell me that, you know, when I have problems and in trouble, I want you there with me because I know you'll handle things and I can rely on you. I also think I'm intensely loyal and I'm a protector. And also, I don't have to know you. Just to pick up on the justice issue a little bit, one of my strengths is championing the cause of the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I find, you know, if I'm listening to watching a basketball game on television and I don't have any vested interest in either team, like it isn't the Wildcats in Tucson, I cheer for whoever's behind. You know, it's that orientation toward losers. So I think that, and I pick up the champion, the underdog. And I'm reliable. I have a real thing about keeping my word, and I go to great ends to keep my word and put a lot of energy into that. And I'm truthful. If you want to know what I'm thinking, all you have to do is ask me.
Mm-hmm. Great. Leif, what about strengths?
Well, thank you, Bob. You've just about covered that. I feel the same way. It's very important. What you see is what you get. Very straightforward and honest with you as well. Feel like you can count on me. And then there's a whole other real caring, committed side to everything as well.
Right, caring, committed, mm-hmm. and there's an intensity of care.
Right, mm-hmm. It's a protectiveness. It's a real, yeah.
Right, and everybody knows where they stand with you.
Absolutely, what you see is what you get, and there's no question there. And I won't surprise you. You know what's mm-hmm. happening, and as Bob mm-hmm. said, if you want the truth, or you want to know, ask.
Right.
But if you don't want to know, don't ask.
Don't ask. Exactly.
No, you don't want to really know. Stay away from it. Okay. Steve, what about the qualities that are strengths for you?
I think they're legion. I think there's just so much. And even in the short experience of the two people that are on the panel with me and viewing them over the last few days, in addition to what they've said, I think there's a certain capacity. There's a tenacity. There's a capability. There's vision. I think most eights have experienced so many things that you actually have your eyes forced open from being in positions of what you do and what you see. And I think there's this reliability factor that is, you really can't even, in a certain way, pay enough money for what that's worth to find somebody that you could put on a team that you say we're going to do this at this time and people align to it. So I think on the stronger side of the capabilities are the leadership that comes out of people because they've had practice at doing it.
Right. Now, all these qualities, and they're almost legion or legend, both probably, are there in relationship. But in relationship, how are you challenging? What are the challenges for you? Bob?
I think being aware of how I impact others and of the feelings of others. I'm pretty much focused on doing and being on the move and getting things done, and I'm not always aware of other people's feelings. And I hurt them, not realizing it. And while I'm comfortable with my anger, other people may not be. And if we're working on a project, I want to keep it moving, get to the goal. And I may say, well, I know this hurts you a little bit, but we're going to keep going here because I'm denying my own feelings. So I expect that you'll do the same. So that's a problem in relationships. And the basic problem, of course, is how vulnerable can I make myself?
All right. Say a little more about that. This vulnerability, opening up, is what would allow then for someone to hurt you or for you to, you know, be somehow or other overwhelmed, theoretically.
Yes, it means losing this. It's a very threat. It feels like a death threat, really. And because, again, my assumption is that basically I can't trust that you're well-meaning. And until I know that, I can't really let you in so that you can hurt me. So I keep a wall, which I move gradually as I get to know you and test you, and then I let you in closer. But until that, now I may make a snap decision because we're in the gut center, so we're very quick. But after I've made the decision, I think, whoa, I better check this person out.
Right. And in close relationship, of course, you can be, this big impact can come, and your way, your truth or your justice may just kind of override things,
oh,
and
yeah.
then the other person ends up feeling hurt or not honored in some way.
Oh, yeah.
Paradoxically, because you want to honor the truth.
Right, exactly. It's sort of like my truth is so pervasive that it is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And unless I get some feedback, I don't pay attention to that.
Right. Leif, I want to ask you, too, what's challenging about being in a relationship with an eight, a protector?
Well, I think there's a certain element of impatience. I'm critical. I'm very confrontational as well, especially if I'm able to dish it out, but I can't take it. So I'm very good at putting it down, and then when you put me down, I walk away. I have nothing to say. You don't get it.
What's it make it hard? Why is it hard to take it, so to speak?
Because I that does start touching on my vulnerabilities, and I may have hurt you, is what I'm hearing when somebody starts putting me down, that I might not be right.
Mm-hmm.
And if I've hurt somebody, then that starts touching on my vulnerability, and my intention is never to hurt someone.
Right. I'm glad you pointed that out. The intention is not to hurt someone, and then when that gets pointed out to you,
it's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. It hurts in the inside.
And I don't want to admit it, because I always know what I'm talking about, and I'm right in what I'm saying, and how could you possibly be hurt by what I've just said?
Right. Right. I have this lesser truth, so to speak.
Right. Yes. Mine is
sounds like there's an echo in here or something.
Right. So, Steve, for you, in relationship, what's challenging about?
Well, I think for me would be, as I sat here and listened to it, I realized that as an eight, it's really easy to get to a place of anger. And it really doesn't even look like anger to me most of the time because when I'm unaware of it. So I could be very, very angry and then, you know, get my hair back in place and say, okay, let's go. You know, it's so quick. There's just this massive anger for the other person. It's like, I just kind of telling you how I felt. Now let's go to the movie or let's go out and play catch with the ball or whatever. So there's that anger side that can be debilitating to other people, but it's like not even present to me. And then I'm kind of wondering, what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the problem? So imagine being married to that or being the child of that when it comes from that place.
And then when you realize that you've actually hurt someone that you care about, what happens?
Well, in my case, I just keep trying to relearn and become conscious to my stupidity of not being aware of the power that I have that I've used inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my commitment to do that. And I'm going to take the same energy that made the mess to learn to clean it up in my life.
Right. Yeah, so we're moving on actually to the question I want to ask about how has the Enneagram been helpful in your life? And Steve, why don't you just be right there?
So you only have a 30-minute program, and I could take literally 3 hours sharing that from the genuine nature of my heart. I'll be 50 years old in August. For 25 years, I have done a lot of different things that the listeners or the people that are on the internet that are looking at this will know. I went through landmark education, spent thousands of dollars with my wife, went to specialized programs, spiritual psychology, got a master's degree in spiritual psychology, been through so many things of trying to just get some way to get a handle on this, and, you know, gradual improvements, little steps here and there. But it wasn't until I was in a Enneagram workshop with you, Dr. Daniels, and with my good friend that I hardly know to my left, and I saw just how brutal my energy could be without knowing it, and then had conversations with my wife and being able to see the damage, even with all the work, 25 years of really working at it, sometimes exhaustingly so. And then being able to have this certain awareness that what it is, it's not something I actually do. It's simply shifting my being.
Mm-hmm.
So right. I couldn't say enough about what the Enneagram has done for me personally and in the life of my wife.
We'll be right back to Empower Your Life with the Enneagram with host Dr. David Daniels.
Information you need, when you need it. VoiceAmerica.com.
What is this wonderful and effective self-help system known as the Enneagram? The Enneagram tells us why we feel, think, and behave the way we do. And most importantly, it tells us how to become our best self in all domains of life. We introduce to you the Trifold School of Enneagram Studies. Our training program has the highest standards in its field, with remarkable records of trained, skilled professionals. The Trifold School of Enneagram Studies includes the Enneagram Professional Training Program, business training, consultations, classes in integration of psychology and spiritual life. For more information on our products, training, and classes, go online to www.AuthenticEnneagram.com or call toll-free at 1-866-366-8973. Change your life today with the Trifold School of Enneagram Studies.
Hello, this is Rory Garay, President of Greyhound Pets of America and host of Greyhounds Make Great Pets on Voice America. Join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern for an insightful and enjoyable talk about one of man's best friends, the Greyhound. Learn about the history of the Greyhound, discuss proper obedience and training techniques, and find out more about the Greyhound racing industry and what they are doing to help the adoption effort of the former race dogs. If you own a Greyhound or just love dogs like I do, join me for Greyhounds Make Great Pets every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific right here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Go beyond success and discover a deeper meaning to life. Join host Jeffrey Gitterman and his guests, the premier thought leaders in business, politics, science, spirituality, and culture, who have reached the pinnacle of financial and professional attainment in their fields, only to discover a profound lack of fulfillment with what our culture defines as success. So won't you tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time to Jeffrey Gitterman and Beyond Success, redefining the meaning of prosperity, right here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Have you put down the morning paper in disgust because they weren't reporting what you wanted to read? Have you wondered why there aren't more women's voices in the news? Well, so have I, and we're about to change that. This is former Minnesota State Senator Ember Reichgott-Young. I hope you'll join me for a new radio show every Thursday all about women on the move. We'll look at what's missing in the news, the issues often ignored in mainstream media, like how does Social Security reform really affect women? Why is the Department of Labor proposing to stop collecting workforce data on women? What role will women play in Iraq's new government? We'll create that debate right here. The Ember Reichgott-Young Show will have prominent women you know and inspiring women you don't know. We'll share stories of women's leadership, courage, and vision. We just need you to be part of the conversation. So join us for the Ember Reichgott-Young Show every Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Time. It's all about you, women on the move, on voiceamerica.com.
Continuing to be the authority in Internet Talk Radio, you're listening to voiceamerica.com.
We now return to Empower Your Life with the Enneagram with Dr. David Daniels.
Right. Well, you've already been on the path of working, and that's very, I really appreciate that. That's very moving, but you've already been on the path of awakening and then realizing, oh, I have to awaken to this over-impactfulness, to this big energy. And I have to do this in a way that I can soften and so that I don't just turn it against myself, so that I have a beneficence toward myself as I go through this process. That's what's really important. And can open my heart to myself as well as to those around me and know that I'm going to be okay. Leif, thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm. Leif, what about you? How's the Enneagram
Well, and that's a beautiful way of putting it. It is so much of this is that we beat ourselves up along the way, and it's such a beautiful way of accepting who you are because it gives you the awareness to see without taking yourself so personally. The Enneagram teaches you. Each of us are so beautiful in the way we look at the world, but that way is simply our own. And not only to step out of ourselves to see that, we can see it within others as well, and it gives us more compassion for ourselves and for others. And is a journey that you can take as far as you want. The Enneagram doesn't stop anywhere. It goes forever. And so, and to me, it bridges that gap between psychology and spirituality. And it's changed my life mm-hmm. and my relationships as well.
Right. It's like in the instance of eight, this big energy, this big lustful energy, and having your version of the truth getting converted back to the original, more innocent, receptive place where you come freshly to everything.
Right,
and you're open and your heart is open. And, of course, then other people's hearts that are there for you, you know, can nourish you. And it's very reciprocal.
Indeed, exactly.
Bob, yourself.
Well, I would say ditto to all that they've said. I think when I first was received the impact of how eights impact others and came in touch with the Enneagram, my first reaction with love that eights have for beating themselves up was I've done everything in my life for the wrong reasons. And I've done it sort of being asleep to myself. And that this energy just has sort of had its way with my life. And so the thing that I think I've been able to, what I've been working on is to be really aware of my impact, being aware of when I'm or waking up, you know, you sort of being aware that I have just been living the last few moments or the last few days sort of asleep, not aware of how I'm affecting people, what's going on. That's helped me. It's helped me in relationships, and I think that I'm softer. I'm much more laid back and willing to listen to other people's truth. And I don't see it that I realize everybody has a value, a point of view, and in that point of view, while there is some error, there is also some truth, and that they have a gift for me.
Right. Do you know what you're all saying is that there's another paradox here, that this powerful type that you are, this big energy, it's actually very empowering to be able to be more receptive. You have
yes.
more, you know, more choices gives us more empowerment and helps empower others.
What I realized is what you mentioned is that as an eight, that I would, you know, I was not open to new things because I'd already decided how and what my reality was, and anything that didn't happen there, I just sloughed off, and I come to things with a bias of mm-hmm. previous experience, whatever. And
we all do, but you know, you come. It's so interesting to me. I mean, it's interesting. It's moving to me also that your bias is like the truth. You know, my bias sounds like a mere opinion. You know, your bias sounds like a declarative imperative.
Right.
It's because of the big energy. So I want to ask one other question before we turn to our audience for questions, and that is, how do others support your well-being, support your life and growth?
I find it helpful if people are playful with me. Mm-hmm. Because there is a... Inside, I'm toasted marshmallows, and that's what I'm protecting all the time, I finally realize. And if people are playful, then it's they just sort of jump over that wall that I've put up.
Right. And Leif, what supports you? How can the rest of us support your development? And
I think it is a process of being gentle. I don't do it like I do. I need support in that I need you to tell me what you need, but don't be too critical about it because I don't handle that well. Mm-hmm. So it's coming at me gently.
Right. Coming at you gently and but yet forthrightly.
Honestly, forthrightly, exactly. Right. Thank you.
Right. Thanks. And Steve?
Might seem too simple, but I can't ever remember a time in my life where I have been angry or rageful when I'm being touched or held or told that someone loves me.
Right. Exactly. Thank you. So I want to turn to our audience for questions. And could you mention your name? And
hi, I'm Bonnie, and I'm an eight, and I'm listening to the panel and thinking about the power and control issues we have. And I know two of you guys at least have been on pretty significant spiritual journeys. And I'm wondering how you relaxed your power and control as it related to your relationship with God or spirit.
There's control that comes over, I'm recognizing for me as an energy. And the more that I can recognize that what that is when that comes up is to bring myself down and be with it, and it all changes. And so the minute I allow everything to change and step away from all that it is an emotion, energy, etc., it unfolds into something beautiful, and it's being in that space that's been the biggest for me. And also being able to do it when I'm in the middle of, say, a confrontation, right when it's happening, to be able to pull out of that because that energy feels almost like it's taken over, to be able to pull back. And again, it's bringing yourself down that's been so important for me, breathing and seeing it for what it is. So I think
right.
That's been the most.
The self-observation and this ability to breathe ourselves back, get centered, and open up. Actually, you know, like come freshly to the situation.
Exactly, and that
you know,
is
it's a return of innocence, and that's certainly part of the spiritual path.
Exactly.
Steve, the spiritual.
Well, it's interesting. When she asked the question, I realized that in the process of that, I only lead myself to believe that I've done that, and I haven't. That's an unfolding, and I realize that as much God as it'll ever be is the God that I allow to be inside myself. Mm-hmm. And so that as I become more receptive and move the energy to be love rather than anger, I find God within me.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Bob, do you want to?
Well, yeah, I would just say that I found when I began the work with the Enneagram that I didn't really trust God all that much to be favorable toward me. And I didn't really appreciate God having any control over me. I had a control issue with God. And what the Enneagram has done for me is it's given me a non-religious, a non-theological way of entering the spiritual world. And in the sense of being healthy psychologically and spiritually are all the same thing. And again, as I can move more into my true being, which I access through centering into my body, then the more God is there as a friend, and I don't have these same prejudices.
I like the word sometimes because of different religious persuasions. I like the word the divine. You know, the divine is there, mm-hmm. and it's within all of us, and it's never gone away. It's that we've gone away from it, so to speak.
Exactly, yeah.
And we can then use our personality structure and its softening and our awareness about it to help us on our return.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's been particularly helpful for me because the traditional theistic language of religion, Christianity particularly, has lost meaning for me. So this has given me a whole new language and way to make contact with the divine.
Right. Thank you. Another question? Yes.
I'm Amy, and I am a five, and I am married to an eight. And so I have a question about this place of vulnerability. Is it a place you want to go to, or do you go there when you have to? Is it a safe place, and what should the people in your life be aware of concerning this vulnerability and how not to hurt you when you're there?
Well, Steve and Leith, can you answer? Both of you answer that?
Both of us?
Yeah.
So for me, it's it may be surprising to people that are eights, but I do not find it really difficult to be vulnerable. I actually enjoy the place of being there, and yet I see that I don't get myself there very frequently. So probably the best thing that someone could do to understand that is to actually say, you know, I really enjoy being you when you're soft, and it's not quite so enjoyable when you're an ogre. Mm-hmm. And I've often said to my wife, would you just let me know that I'm hurting you? Because if I knew I was hurting you, I would not do that on purpose.
So you want to know when mm-hmm. when you're hurting the special other, and you want to know, you want to embrace that vulnerability and open up to it.
Yeah, and if I had 2 more seconds, I'd say something else.
You have 10 more seconds.
Again, based on what I've learned through using the Enneagram, which I agree with Bob, that it crosses all denominations and isms that anyone of any way of being in life could benefit from. When I went home, I said to my wife, I'm really learning what my eightness does to hurt you. What would be helpful if we could get some poker chips, and if I'm ever curt with you, you hand me a red one. You don't have to explain it. I'll just know. So if it's tough for you to say to me, I'll know. And if at the end of the day I have been the way you would like me to be, give me a white poker chip. And literally, in the last 6 weeks, I have received 1 red poker chip. And it's been because I'm aware when I'm hurting her. So for me, the best thing is help me understand that I'm hurting you. I'm not trying to hurt you.
Right. Do you know, I think actually I just want to comment that those of us in the outside world at some level sense that there's a vulnerability inside, and that the big energy and its big outward direction is protecting something, and it is like all the rest of us, some little child in there that's vulnerable and could be hurt and wants to be cared about. Leif, would you answer this one too?
For me, because I think you love me because of my strength and all the things that I can do, that when I feel vulnerable, I feel like I'm not doing those things for you anymore, and that you're not going to like me because I'm not doing that. I'm not strong enough. So I get into this vulnerable place, and I hate it. I'm not being all that you need me to be. And that's where it really hits home for me. I have to act strong and tough, and I don't. So when I do get in touch with that, it's really hard to be there for me. I can't stand it because I feel like it's gonna drain me of all my energy, and you're just going to run away and go, this person can't take care of me. So when I do get there to say, wow, I like who you are, and I love because this makes me feel more human, or I love being with you for this reason, then I feel safer that you actually do like me as that person as well. And that's huge for me because I don't, and love that I'm being vulnerable. If I need to cry instead of going, get toughen up, or, you know, any of that, I need to know it's okay to be vulnerable.
There's a great strength and a great power in softness and tenderness, as well as in, you know, strength and virility, so to speak.
Yeah.
So is there any other brief comment you would make about the type? We're nearing the time to close.
I think beneath all of it, they're very, eights are very compassionate, caring, thoughtful, and cause-driven people that have an unlimited supply of kindness and love for people, and they really, really, more than anything else, want to be part of just humanity. And they haven't, at least in my case, haven't yet become aware of how to let go and just be part of the whole.
Right, and of course there's some eights that have been so damaged that that's a very hard place to get to that primary, what you just now stated. Leif, anything else to add for us?
I don't think so.
Okay, or Bob?
No.
Well, I want to thank all of you, and just in way of summary is that this is the type on the Enneagram that exhibits great strength and great amount of energy, and it's sort of big, we call it lustful energy, but it's a big heartfelt energy, actually, a big energy to go out into the world and to accomplish many things and to affect many things. But it's also hiding at the same time from an inner vulnerability, from the little wounded child, if you will, that we all have inside ourselves, and it's that particular strategy. And that the path is actually rather counterinstinctive, you know, like open up, soften, you know, allow this vulnerability. But, of course, for all of us, the path, regardless of type, is rather counterinstinctive. And I really appreciate all of you in what you've said. We have three more shows in the series, and we'll be examining in those shows the applications of the Enneagram, the Enneagram in psychological and spiritual development, and we will be examining the Enneagram as it affects organizations and in the workplace. So, again, thank all of you, and we'll see you hopefully next, or you'll be with us hopefully next week.
Thank you for listening to Empower Your Life with the Enneagram on voiceamerica.com. Join us every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another informative hour of Empower Your Life with the Enneagram, right here on the network truly dedicated to your health, Voice America Health and Wellness.
What is this wonderful and effective self-help system known as the Enneagram? The Enneagram tells us why we feel, think, and behave the way we do. And most importantly, it tells us how to become our best self in all domains of life. We introduce to you the Trifold School of Enneagram Studies. Our training program has the highest standards in its field, with remarkable records of trained professionals. The Trifold School of Studies includes the Enneagram Professional Training Program, business training, consultations, classes in integration of psychology and spiritual life. For more information on our products, training, and classes, go online to www.AuthenticEnneagram.com or call toll-free at 1-866-366-8973. Change your life today with the Trifold School of Enneagram Studies.